Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
With a lot of movement in the Forex space that really started to pick up in the last couple of days, and all eyes now on the dollar, the index that seems to be halting its recent slide. Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Han Tan, analyst of FXTM, who's here to share with us his thoughts and his impressions over the last 5 days and what's been a very frisky couple of sessions. Han, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you're in good health up in Kuala Lumpur, and welcome back to the show, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so there's a couple of things, and you know, people might start to accuse me of being an evangelist for the greenback, but really the world does regard the U.S. dollar as one of the most important currencies. There are a number of issues with regards to the U.S. dollar now. Warnings, for instance, that the U.S. could see debt surpass GDP by next year. And also the fact that many still point out that, yes, that might well happen, but the U.S. economy still needs more fiscal support. So how is this all shaping sentiment regarding the dollar index, which seems to have found some stability in the middle of the week? And how do we factor in some of this volatility we've seen overnight from the equity space?
So you can divide those into near-term drivers and long-term drivers. So I think earlier you mentioned the fiscal deficit. Look, that twin deficit that the U.S. is facing is a long-term structural factor. Well, for the near-term, speaking about fiscal support, the dollar could see some support if the next round of fiscal stimulus is approved with a Senate that's going to reconvene next week. But of course, that depends on how big the stimulus package is, whether it's slimmed down or watered down. Then that could disappoint dollar bulls. So I think the debt obligations are, not to say secondary, but perhaps longer term, right? And to be fair, that's a global theme because, you know, even if you look at, say, Germany, they are having to run a deficit to finance their support measures as well. So I think the near-term drivers for the dollar would be this potential fiscal package to be approved maybe next week. And, of course, what's happening with the U.S. inflation outlook and Treasury yields. Now, as for perhaps some of the volatility from the equity space sweeping into the FX markets, it's not such a direct correlation. So we're not seeing a seismic shift in risk sentiment for now, at least.
We mentioned a while ago budget deficits, and it's not unusual or unique to the U.S. Pretty much any country in the world that's been hit by the coronavirus might be in for a budget deficit. And deficits, not exactly something that Forex bulls actually like. Since we're expecting deficits to be somewhat of a short to midterm new normal for markets, how are FX markets adjusting for the fact that, you know, pretty much more often than not, we're probably going to see a current account or a budget deficit for most of these currencies that we're tracking, Han?
I think it's all relative, right? So again, like you said, the global theme is that markets are being more tolerant about the deficits given the sheer need for financing to support their respective economies. I think, you know, what's hogging the limelight is, you know, the ability of these economies to move beyond the pandemic. I think that's certainly central. And then after that, then it's other macroeconomic indicators such as inflation and deficit, etc. So I think first things first, these economies need to prove to markets that they can move past the pandemic.
We're still speaking to Han Tan of FXTM here on Forex Fridays. Now, this week actually saw the euro cross a very interesting threshold, Han, strengthening beyond $1.20 per euro for the first time in over 2 years. But it seems that folks at the ECB have begun to view the euro strength in a very wary manner. What is your take on the euro moving forward? And is this really such a bad thing for the eurozone?
Yeah, so I think that bout of euro strength just adds another layer to how markets are framing the ECB meeting next week, whereby if investors sense more verbal jawboning of the euro lower, like we saw earlier this week, or perhaps even some overt intervention to stem the euro strength, they could see the euro unwind more of its recent gains. I mean, after all, the economic recovery sure could use some help from the weaker currency and also help the central bank eventually achieve its inflation mandate. So all that considered, I think the euro could be hard pressed in keeping its head above the 120 psychological level, like we did just a couple of days ago, and then looking further down the line, a stronger resistance to arrive at the 121 level, a la 2017.
We shift our attention now from the euro and go halfway across the world, that is, Han. And when we took a look at two resilient currencies that benefited from the greenback's weakness also are the Australian dollar and their counterpart, the Kiwi, the New Zealand dollar. Actually, last week I was speaking to someone on Forex Fridays about how the Singapore dollar seems to have strengthened against the greenback, but seems to have weakened against the Aussie. You know, when you look at the macro landscape for both these countries, it's not exactly solid. You know, one is dealing with its first recession since the early 90s. The other one's trying to fight off a surprising COVID outbreak in their largest city. What's going to play in favor of these two currencies, do you think? And conversely, what might play against both of them?
Yeah, so in favor would be, of course, more dollar weakness. I mean, even though the short positions on the dollar appear overstretched, you know, but we should still see the dollar demonstrate its bias for more weakness over the medium term. But again, like I mentioned earlier, it's all relative, isn't it? So, you know, if you compare the respective government's handles on the domestic outbreaks in those antipodean countries versus what's happening in the U.S., you know, I think the recoveries in the antipodean economies would really help as well. Now, on the other side of the coin, what might play against it would be signs that the central banks, the respective central banks, would intervene. Look, earlier this week, the RBA, they highlighted the Aussie strength in its policy statements, and then we have seen how the Aussie dollar is the second worst performer against the greenback amongst G10 currencies so far this month. For New Zealand, look, markets are expecting the RBNZ to adopt negative rates by April next year, if not sooner. So the idea is that if we get more of such cues from these central banks, I think that could weigh on the respective currencies.
I do want to talk about the state of gold. And, you know, Han, we have seen that gold has started to benefit from this overnight flight to safety once again. But we have highlighted before that gold is rather sensitive, actually, to liquidity conditions also. There's still an impasse in the in U.S. Congress with regards to a fiscal stimulus bill. It seems that central banks across the world they are saying that they are prepared to offer more stimulus, but they're being a little bit more thoughtful or reflective on further additional measures. How do you think might all of these liquidity conditions and also some of these delays and potential stimulus all play out for gold, which on the surface might seem to benefit from this flight to safety?
Yeah, so it's not just the potential or the looming Senate decision on the next round of U.S. fiscal stimulus, right? You've also got inflation expectations. I think that's been a big driver for gold prices. And we've got the August inflation reading for the U.S. due a week from today. And also, look, we've got a jobs report due in a few hours from now. So that may wake gold bulls from their recent slumber, right? But if you look at recent past, look, gold is having to contend with the slight uptick in the U.S. dollar, the dollar index bouncing back from sub-92 levels. You know, even though the overall downward trend in the dollar index remains intact, and the upward trend for gold is also evident, it's well supported above its 50-day moving average. Also, there's been a slight uptick in 10-year Treasury yields since August. So all that appears to have dented bullion's appeal, given that it's a non-yielding asset, right? But yes, as you pointed out, you know, there are some near-term potential catalysts that could really jolt gold prices one way or the other.
I think the concern now is that you're starting to see some of these stocks, these high-flying stocks, pull back. Do you think that gold might be set for some profit-taking if people start to run out of liquidity once again and thus lead to a leg down for the precious metal?
Look, I think liquidity conditions are ample, especially, you know, given what central banks around the world are doing. And also, when you keep in mind the Fed's shift in their stance on U.S. inflation, right? They essentially flipped the script on how they're going to handle price pressures moving forward, allowing the U.S. economy to run hot. So if you buy into the narrative that gold is this traditional hedge against inflation, that only spells more upside for gold prices. Right? So I think overall the narrative is still intact that we should see gold being restored to its upward trajectory. Perhaps you just need to get over some of these near-term hurdles, such as this recent uptick in the dollar and in treasury yields.
Han Tan from FXCM, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts on the week that was in Forex markets here in Forex Fridays. Glad to hear you're in good health, and we hope you stay that way in the coming weeks. And we look forward to your next time you're able to join us on the show, sir. Have a great weekend ahead.
You too. Always a pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.